I want to begin tonight by asking a question that you don't even have to think about. You won't even have to answer it. The answer is that obvious. If I got 1,000 people gathered together of all genders, ethnic backgrounds, political backgrounds, wouldn't make any difference. 999 of them would answer the same thing, and the one who didn't would only answer something differently because they misunderstood the question. That's how obvious the answer is. Here's the question. Does it seem like the world in which we're living is getting crazier by the day?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a no-brainer. No-brainer. No matter what you believe or don't believe, everyone, I think, would be agreeable to say that this world is getting crazy. The things that we have held true for so long, we're discarding each and every day, and something new is coming into its place, and consequently, there's an uncertainty about living, which is causing people to be very upset. Did you know that that was prophesied nearly 2,000 years ago, that it would be like that today? In the second epistle that Paul wrote to his protege Timothy, in the third chapter he writes this, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." The word perilous has the idea of a calamity or danger. And certainly we are living in a day and age where there is calamity after calamity, whether it be in airports in Fort Lauderdale or across the sea in other places where terrorists reign, whether it be in the inner cities, whether it be in the White House or other places. There's just crazy world out there. In that epistle, beginning in verse 2, the apostle then lists a number of characteristics that will make or describe why this world is such a crazy place in which to live. Lord willing, over the next couple of weeks, I want to take a look at these characteristics. And tonight, I want to look at the first couple of them here in verse 2. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." And when you said tonight that you were number one, I said to myself, "Oh, thank you, Lord." Man, he just gave me the perfect sermon illustration. Now, I know he was joking, because I know that's not his personality or way of thinking or anything. But man, it was just perfect. "Men shall be lovers of their own selves." Now, these things, interesting, I think they follow a pattern. If men are lovers of their own selves, then they tend to be covetous. If they're covetous, going after things, they tend to be boasters. And consequently, they're proud. All those things, one proceeds from another. You take this self-love, and consequently, as we get in, that becomes the basis of the next ones, which are blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. And that will then become the basis of the next group of them, and so on and so forth. One proceeds right out of the other. The question then for tonight is, why is it that men will be lovers of them of their own selves? What is the basis for that? And I'd like to suggest to you, I believe the root cause of all this is there is a decreasing awareness of the existence of God in the world today. Whether it be real atheism or what I call practical atheism, there is a decreasing amount of realization of the existence of God. I did a quick study just to look at the number of atheists in the world today, and I was surprised. I didn't find the exact number of atheists, but the one site that I went to on the internet listed that Christianity in all its forms, anybody who calls themselves a Christian, is the world's largest religion. Following that is Islam. Following that, believe it or not, the third most widely practiced religion is people with no affiliation to any church whatsoever or religion whatsoever. People who would, which would include atheists and those that might say, well, there is a God, but we don't know that he actually exists or does anything. What I would call practical atheists. Agnostics would fall into that. That's the third largest group in the world today. That just boggled my imagination. God does not exist, or if he does exist, he's out there and he's not involved with down here. And consequently, if he's out there or he's not out there and not involved down here, two things come from that. I have to do all things for myself. There's no one who will provide for me. And if I have to do all things for myself, I have to do all things by myself. No one who will give me energy, abilities, no one who will sovereignly control things that will cause me to be, what's the word I'm looking for? It just went right out of my mind. Productive. Therefore, when I do something because no one else is helping me, guess who did it? Me. Lovers of their own selves. Why? Because no one else is going to do that. Consequently, I've got to get something. No one else is going to give me something. And because I've gotten it, I can boast and be proud. No one to do for me. No one to do with me. What's the consequence of such a thought? Well, I'm the only one that's there that matters. If I have to do everything for myself, if I have to do everything by myself, I'm the only one who I am to be concerned with. I don't have to concern myself with anybody else. You're on your own. And consequently, that creates a problem. Because sooner or later, what you're believing, because you're on your own too, and you have no one to help you, therefore, if your desires come in conflict with my desires, we got problems. We've got lots and lots and lots of problems. Because there's no God out there who will provide for me, who will sovereignly work on my behalf, who will enable me to do things. And therefore, I'm on my own. We've got a lot of people living on their own, not just individually, but corporately. I believe the Bible says that God is sovereign over the nations, that he has divided people into national entities. And consequently, we live as a country under the sovereignty of God. Well, if we take God out of the picture, now there's no sovereignty of God over us. Who is to say that the 50 states belong to the United States? Who is to say that England belongs to England? Who is to say that France belongs to France? And now one country can go against another country. Well, we see that happening. Russia has invaded the Ukraine, the area of the Ukraine. Why? Because we want that land for ourselves. It's ours. There's no God out there that will say, stay within your borders. What we want, we go after. And they go after it. Islam. Now, that's religiously motivated, and certainly they recognize the existence of a God, not the one that we worship, but nonetheless they recognize the existence of a God. They're desirous of taking over the whole world. Well, nobody has a claim to this world except them. And you can see the problems that that creates. Why does the world become a calamitous, a perilous place to live? Because we have no God that will set boundaries for us. And therefore, I have to do things on my own. You're doing things, and sooner or later, they're going to clash. Consequently, when I do accomplish something, Patrick stands up and says, our side was perfect. How was yours, Brad? And Brad doesn't like that. Hey, you're putting me down. We did the best we can. Now he's mad at Patrick for boasting. Do You see how this thing works and becomes a terrible place in which to live. There is no God, or there is no God who is active in the lives of people. Consequently, we're on our own. Well, what do we do to cure the situation? And by the by, this isn't just the belief of the unsaved world. This is the belief of, unfortunately, of many within genuine Christianity. The practical atheism within Christianity. I've got to do everything myself. What do we do to correct the problem? Three things that I want to suggest to you. First of all, we need to recognize and then proclaim the presence of God. There is a God. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Well, the atheist says, how do you know there is a God? Have you ever seen him? Well, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. I look around, and if you can't see it, you're spiritually blind. That's all there is to it. You look up into the sky at night and you see everything that's out there and the glories of the heavens. You see how our solar system works. And you mean to tell me that at a point in time, all of a sudden, this all exploded. It fell into place perfectly, that it has remained, according to the evolutionists, in that place for millions, if not billions of years, and these things have never collided with one another. That just happened. That's the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. The atheist will say the existence of a God is the most ridiculous thing. When it all boils down to it, I come back to the question of the existence, the ministry, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How do you explain him? Now, of course, they say the virgin birth is a myth. Well, okay, I won't debate that one with you, although I believe it earnestly. I would never give up on that doctrine. But I'll pass over it for this. How do you explain his ministry? How do you explain the things that he did during his time here on earth? How do you explain what happened on the cross of Calvary? How do you explain that they buried him and that they sealed the tomb? And exactly as he predicted, on the third day he would rise again from the dead. He would be seen by a number of different people and consequently go into heaven. How do you explain that? Oh, well, he didn't exist. Well, history tells us he existed. Unbelievers have written of his existence. Unbelievers have written of the things that he has done. Unbelievers have written of his resurrection. How do you explain that if he's not God? There is no explanation. And therefore, there is a God that we can boldly proclaim to the world. Which brings us back to the second thing. Not only do we recognize and proclaim the presence of God, we recognize and proclaim the personality of God. How you view God determines how you live. If you view God as a God who is only infinitely holy. You see a stern, angry person sitting on a gold throne with lightning bolts in his hand, just ready to zap you on the spot when you fall short of the glory of God. Now, God is a God who is infinitely holy, but he is also a God who is infinitely loving. Infinitely loving. That means that he's concerned about my life. So we recognize and proclaim not only the presence of God, but the personality of God. There is a God who cares, a God who created me, a God who cares for me, a God who then, thirdly, provides for me. The Apostle Paul put it this way to the Philippians. How did he put it to the Philippians? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, I don't have to worry about things. My God shall supply all my need. There is a God who is sovereign over the universe, who has determined what is right, what is wrong, who has put this world into an existence that is to be run by His decrees, who is a God who cares, God who is involved in my life, a God who provides in my life. Therefore, everything doesn't revolve around me. And I don't have to contend with Jack when Jack's desires are in contrast with mine, or with Marv if Marv's desires are... I can say, I have a God who will provide for all of us. And consequently, there's a world of peace. And there's a chaos that we can just absolutely disregard, because our God is greater than that. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. You know what? I have to remind me of this. Two words. Professional athletes. I was watching the NFL channel last night because there was absolutely nothing on TV that I wanted to watch. And they had the Barry Sanders story. Barry Sanders, probably the greatest running back ever in NFL history, if not certainly one of the top three. Did you ever see a running back score a touchdown today? They get in. You know, it's either they spike the ball or they throw the ball up or they do this. Look at me. Barry Sanders scored touchdown after touchdown after touchdown, and every time he went up and handed the ball to the referee. An unusual person. Let's be unusual people in this world and say, don't look at me. Look at the God who's there. Maybe this world will become just a little bit less perilous place in which to live. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this brief but important study tonight. Lord, the world around us keeps saying that we are number one, that we are the most important things, that we need to believe in ourselves to provide for ourselves, when in reality, we are not even number two. That there's a God who created us who is number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, and number everything. And we are just your servants. But we also have a God who cares for us infinitely. A God who provides for us generously. Therefore, we needn't fear. We needn't complain. We needn't strive against one another. We can live a life that's peaceful. As our memorization verse that we looked at tonight will deal with, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Father, I pray that as we embark on this brief little study through this great little passage here, that our minds will be opened as to how we can make the world better placed in which to live, at least within the people that we have ability to reach. And we'll thank you for all that you do as we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Believe it or not, we're done.